I'd like to start this evening by reading just a verse from John's Gospel in chapter 3, probably one of the verses that we first learn from the Bible. John's Gospel, chapter 3, page 1269, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Then in the book of Acts, the next book of the Bible, and chapter 17, verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and exist. Then in Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4. This is on page 1450 in the Bible I'm using. Chapter 4 of Hebrews and verse 13. And there is not a creature unapparent before him, for all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do. In the midst of the scene around, when we know, and I've already referred to the uncertainty and increasing darkness, we might say, in every way, of the world around us, I want to speak about the greatness of God. Recently, we've had the opportunity to see an eclipse of the sun. There was also an asteroid shower, which I didn't see, I must admit. And more recently, a partial eclipse of the moon. And the scientists were all able to tell us when these things were going to happen. A lot of these things, the scientists can work out very, very complicated calculations in relation to things that happen in the heavens. Sometimes they have to rely on what's happened in the past. They tell us that Halley's Comet will come around in, I don't know what the period is, I know I shan't be here to see it, but that will come round in due course, and it's all forecastable. And this has caused me to think about the greatness of the God who's behind it all. Do these things, can you persuade yourself that all these things happen by chance? It's all random, that there is no God? Most of us have been brought up hearing the gospel for our whole lives, but I think you'll agree with me. It seems as if there's something behind what happens in creation. One of the Psalms tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And if you campers have a moment tonight when it's dark, and if the sky is clear, go out and have a look at it. See what the heavens look like. Sometimes you can see very few stars. There's so much light around and the sky is polluted. Sometimes you get a view of the magnificence of what's up there, stretching right into infinity. Distances that my poor old mind just can't comprehend. But then we have to do with God, who inhabits eternity. God is the God of what's infinite and of eternity itself. Our little tiny brains can't take it in. Even the brilliant scientists have got their theories and they generally get the theories and they're knocked down at some stage in the future by something else. But God is behind it all. God is behind the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. But that just brings me to my first scripture, because the heavens declare the glory of a God who has loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. It's a marvellous thing, think about it for a minute, that the God who has that all under his control loves me and loves you, whoever you are. And he wants you to know him and to have a personal link with him. And because of that, he sent his only begotten Son to die at Calvary. And he suffered for me, and he suffered for you. We read about some of it this afternoon, the awful ignominy that was heaped upon my Saviour, who was going that way for my sins and for yours. The awful punishment that God heaped upon him when he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Every one of them, my sins not in part, but the whole, were born on the cross and are gone evermore. Does that not lead you to praise the Lord? Praise the Lord, O my soul, as the hymn says. That's the message of the glad tidings. And don't think that you can hide from God. Please don't think that you can go through life and ignore God. I read those other scriptures, the scripture in Acts, chapter 17 and verse 28. For of him we live and move and exist. You think about that. That's God, in whose hands our breath is. A baby is born into the world, or an animal is born into the world, and they take their first breath. At the other end, we take our last breath. Solemn matter. Those are things you cannot control. They're in God's hands. But never forget there is a God that loves you. We've said in the reading there are many things that happen in life. I don't expect to have a good rational answer that convinces me about. But I believe in a God of love who's working out something for his own glory. And he wants you too to be affected and to know him, the God in whose hands your breath is. The God I've lost my place. Thanks. For of him we live and move and exist. That's the God who we present in the glad tidings. But a God that's very interested in you as an individual. He knows all about you. No one's too bad for God's love. He's got the perfect plan in place for you, in that his Son has died already for you. Whosoever will, is the gospel, is available to you. My scripture in Hebrews is very much on a similar line. Chapter 4, verse 13. Not a cut creature unapparent before him, but all things and naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do. We may think that we can pass muster, that on the outside we look pretty good. God sees our hearts. He knows all about it. He knows all about those things that go on in my mind that I wouldn't like to tell you about. God knows all about it. And he loves us in spite of everything. What a God we have. I think I also would like to refer to a scripture in the book of Revelation, right at the end. It shows us a picture of a day that's yet to come when God is going to judge the world. Everything will be dealt with. Everything's sorted out. We see in things in the world, everything seems to be going wrong. People prosper when they're completely doing things that we all know are wrong. But I'll read, don't need to turn to it, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged each according to their works. A time comes where the righteous judgment of God comes. We can't avoid that. Even the dead give up those that they have in their control. Think about that. There's no escape. There's no escape. And the question arises from this. Is my name written in the book of life? And what about your name? Is that too in the book of life? Well, the God in whose hands our breath is, the God whose hand is over all, is appealing to you in the glad tidings today that you might find Jesus as your own personal saviour. Find a message. Find one who's got the answer to all your problems. Find one who's loved you enough to die for you and wants you to respond to that great love of his. May you do so today, blessed dear friend. May you trust in Jesus. May he be your own personal saviour. And God gives us his spirit to help us. I've referred to the fact that things go on in my mind that I wouldn't like to tell you about. But God has sent me and given me his spirit, which indwells in me. He's able to help me when I'm helpless on my own. He's yours for the asking. For a believer, God gives the Spirit, and he is in you, a person who's able to help you in the most difficult circumstances you'll ever face. He is God himself, and he's given to indwell the believer to help him through this scene. Well, I would just ask you to consider what God is saying to you in the preaching tonight. What he's saying to me, I can't elect myself out. I'm in much need of the gospel as anyone is. God is appealing to us that we might be freshly touched, if we have already been touched by the glad tidings, to believe in Jesus, to seek to follow him, and to be here in a way that shows the greatness of a God who's done everything for us in giving his only begotten Son. Well, my God, bless the word. Amen. I'd just like to sing another hymn, 260.